Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rutolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening to the Miss ADD Hour. So we're going to continue this week our conversation that we've been having on relationships and ADHD. It seems to be a very hot topic, especially situations where one person in the relationship is ADHD and the other person is not. There's a communication breakdown. And if you listen to the show last Sunday, I actually had a couple come in and sit with us, and we spent some time talking about the relationship and some of the strengths and, unfortunately, many more of the pitfalls. Because I think what happens in this situation is we go out and we meet somebody who's ADHD, and I happen to be ADHD, and we're fun and we're exciting and we're out of the box thinkers, and they fall in love with us and love the way we talk. We have a lot of comedy. We love to have fun, and then they begin to see that as time goes on, we're not a partner because we're childlike, we're juvenile in the way things get done around the house or saving money or spending money without really thinking about it, because a lot of what we go through in this population is immediate gratification. So all these things build up over time, and the person in the relationship that does not have ADHD develops resentment. And then what happens is the communication kind of gets shut down because the person without ADHD speaks to the person with ADHD in a very negative tone. They're not very understanding. I like to tell people when I work with couples is the person with ADD is very much a person, and what you're seeing is the behaviors and the symptoms, the negative symptoms of ADHD. And so to continue my conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago about emotional individuation, I really feel very strongly as I'm researching more about this and working with the adults that this is a big part of the problem, that we have not grown up. I have, because I've done the work I've needed to do, and that's the other reason why I'm really talking about emotional individuation, because that's how I was able to get to this really wonderful place where I could call my ADHD a gift and I embrace it, because I am individuated now and I'm an adult and I feel good and I take responsibility for my life. And even though I have a life partner, I don't blame him for things. I do things on my own. And life is really good. So this is part of the issue that happens. The resentment builds, the anger shows up. And then because of the way they're communicating, there's anger on both sides. And many, many times, which is very sad, the relationships end because they didn't get the help in time, or they didn't want to go for help. Because many times what happens is the person with ADD or ADHD doesn't really see or is self-aware about the symptoms that are happening, and they end up really being in denial and not dealing with certain things that need to be dealt with. For example, being late all the time. So your partner sets up a time for the two of you to go to dinner with another couple, just as an example, and you're half an hour late. Because the person with ADHD, time gets away from them. They don't, instead of staying on track when they're getting ready to go out, they exit and they look. Exiting means we kind of look at other things that catch our eye, like squirrel, and we go over there and start dealing with that, whatever it is, instead of focusing on what's in front of us. And a lot of that focusing on what's in front of us is how I use my mindfulness, which is all about staying in the moment. So you're late, you show up late, and the person that's on time is really feeling sad about being late for this other couple, and he's feeling less than. And I just want to share a story with you about lateness. When my boys were very young, my oldest boy was 9, my youngest boy was 6, I picked them up at school one day, and I was very late getting there, and they were sitting on the curb waiting for me, and I could see that they were very upset and sad that I was late. And my oldest son, who was 9 at the time, got in the van and said, "Mom, can I tell you how it makes me feel when you're late?" And I said, "Yeah. How does it make you feel?" He said, "It makes me feel like I don't matter." Well, ladies and gentlemen, who's ever listening, that was absolutely the last time I was ever late for anything, not only for my children, because what he taught me, this little 9-year-old, is not only did I make him feel like he didn't matter, but for the people that I was late, other things, whether it was business related or friendships, I'm sure they felt the same way. So I want everybody to think about that story. And if you are late all the time, it's totally unacceptable and it's very juvenile-like. So another example of how people get in trouble in relationships is the ADHD person says, man or woman says, "You know what? You're going out today. I promise that I'm going to clean up. The kitchen's going to be clean by the time you come home because we're having company tonight." So the person leaves and goes out to spend the day and do what they need to do. And when they come home, it's about an hour before the company is showing up and the house is a disaster. The person with ADD or ADHD has not focused on what they said they were going to focus on. They were hyper-focusing on the computer or something else that caught their eye. Time went by, which is a big issue with us, is time. They weren't timing themselves. They weren't using alarms to remind them what they needed to do. And here the partner comes home and the house is a mess. So that's, if you can feel that, that's how the resentment, again, is building more and more. Because now he or she has to help the other person clean up the house very quickly because their company's coming in an hour. And it may not be as clean as both of them would like it to be because of the juvenile behavior, again, of the person with ADD. Because if you think about it, if you're an adult, you're taking responsibility for the fact that you told your partner that you were going to get this house clean. And an adult follows through on what they say they're going to do. So again, we go back to emotional individuation and being able to grow up and not be tethered to anybody else, expecting them to take care of us and make everything right. So those are a couple examples, and I hope that helps all of you who are listening, of what can happen in relationships with people, one or two people with ADD or ADHD. And then the other challenge would be two people who have ADD. And the interesting thing is I actually have a life partner who has ADHD, and we live together, and we're both very individuated and adults. And so we are really able to pull this relationship off in a positive way. Do we have our moments? Absolutely we do. But we take responsibility, and we don't put it back on each other, and we move forward in a very positive way. But I think in the segment that we're doing on relationships, I'm going to try to get a couple in, maybe in a couple of weeks, where both of them are ADD so that we can really spend some time talking about the positives, because I'm sure there's tons of positives, but also the pitfalls and the negatives involved in that kind of relationship. So today on the program, I'm actually going to be having a very good friend of mine that I've known for 30 years. His name is George. And a couple of weeks ago, I had done the podcast on individuation. And little did I know that he took it upon himself to listen to it on iTunes, which you all can under Miss ADD, and it's free. And he called me up and said to me, I have to tell you something. You opened up a world for me, and I just can't believe that you talked about resentment in relationships with people that are ADD. And I asked him, George, what are you talking about? He said, my wife is ADD. And I had no idea because, first of all, I haven't seen them in a long, long time. And any time we were ever together, it was for short periods of time. And I didn't really notice the behaviors. But he went on to tell me that I really freed him when I talked about resentment that builds and the anger that comes up, because he was feeling this now for years and years, and he thought that possibly there was something wrong with him. But I assured him that what he was feeling was very real, and that he probably needed somehow to deal with that. So that's one of the reasons, because we haven't really had an opportunity to talk about this together. And it's one of the reasons why I asked him to call in today, so all of you could hear his story and I could spend some time possibly giving him some tools or some tips on how to handle some of the situations that he's going through and has been going through for years and years and years. So I'm looking forward to his phone call. I'm sure he's be calling in any minute now. And I just wanted to remind everybody who's listening that you also can call in. We're going to be on for an hour and a half today. And the number to call in is 917-889-7025. And you can also go to my website, which is missadd.com, and go to my forum section. Just click on the forum section, and you can also ask me questions there. And if I don't get to those questions today, I certainly will answer the questions for you on the forum. Also, I wanted to remind all of you who are listening that I run an adult support group, and it's in the South Bay in Southern California, in Torrance, California, and it's located at the Center for Learning Unlimited, 2785 Pacific Coast Highway. And actually, I run this support group for Chad, so there's only a $5 donation. If any of you want to come and join us on Wednesday nights, it's from 7:30 to 9, and I think it would be great. There's tons of growth going on right now in that group. We're working a lot on individuation and growing up. So, again, if you want to come to the group, wonderful. If you want to contact me, to either talk to me or come and see me privately, you can do that on my website or my Facebook page. I have a Miss ADD Facebook page. So while we're waiting for George to call in, we can absolutely keep talking about relationships and how they affect us. So let's talk about when you have children. Okay, and let's say that in the relationship you have two children, one with ADD, one with not. So one of the complaints that I hear a lot from couples that I see is they say that they feel like they have three children now instead of two, meaning that the partner with ADD, again, is acting very childlike, like the child with ADD. So if you think about it, as a mother or a father, if you're not an adult, if you're not adult-like, acting like an adult, following through on things, setting goals, not procrastinating, the child that you're raising that has ADD, they're watching you act in such a way, and it's a role model for them. And they're going to think that, gee, I guess I don't have to finish my homework, or, you know, I can't wait to the last minute to do something, because my dad does or my mom does. And see, that's where we really end up in trouble, because if you have these sort of behaviors and your child sees these behaviors, they're going to follow them, and then you're going to get angry at the child because he or she is not handing his homework in or waiting to the last minute to get it done or sitting in front of the video games for 10 hours a day. And all these things that you want to say to them to help them grow up and individuate, which is very important, won't happen if you don't fix yourself and really work on all the negative symptoms, which you can get in control of, because I am, as an adult, and take responsibility. So I think I see. I think that that George is calling in. He's on the line. So I'm going to try to answer him right now.
Hello.
Hey, hi. Is this George?
Yes, it is. How are you, Justine?
I'm good, George. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
So I was just telling the audience a little bit about you and that you and I had reconnected after a while, a couple of weeks ago after you had heard one of my podcasts on individuation.
Right.
So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. To start out with, I think that I called into the podcast because of you and because I've known you for so long, and I was obviously very interested to hear what you had to say. But what's interesting about it is that there was the whole presentation was so rich for me.
Thank you.
I think there was a key word that you used in the course of the conversations with the gentleman that you had on the podcast, and that word was anger.
And resentment.
And the anger on the part of someone who lives with somebody that has ADD or OCD.
Right.
And that just opened up a whole host of thoughts in my mind.
Okay.
And, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about that specific point in the last couple of weeks since I heard the first one.
Okay. So do you want to share with us a little bit about your feelings about resentment or anger that you're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I live with someone who is very ADD.
Okay.
And an extremely bright woman.
Which we all are.
Extremely talented.
Yeah.
Extremely talented.
Yeah, very creative.
Probably an IQ much higher than mine, honestly.
Okay.
And I found as the years go on, how tremendously scattered she seems to be, like really, really scattered.
Okay.
And not a lot of organization at all in any part of what goes on in her daily routine.
Okay.
And the challenge is, for me, is that I am very organized.
Right.
I am very set in the way I do certain things. I've been in the business world for years, and as a result of that, you know, you just learn how to become very organized, very precise, very prompt, and so forth. But as it pertains to her and the way she lives her life, as she gets older, all of that is just seems to be gone.
Okay.
And that creates a lot of tension. That creates a lot of anger. And tension, I think, is the best word, Justine, for me to use.
Right, because there is a lot of tension because things aren't changing. They're getting worse.
No, things aren't changing, and it just seems as though there's a lot of, I'll use the word, cleanup that has to be done in many different areas. Just a lot of incompleted projects, a lot of very late, being late for dinner, being late to see friends, being late to get to a movie, that kind of a thing. Time just doesn't really seem to be an important consideration. And in my world, in the way I have to move through the world, I have to be very much on time, very precise.
Right. Right.
Because there are other people that are relying upon me as I move through the world in my business life.
Right.
So when I heard you use the word anger, it just like really struck a chord with me.
Right. And also the word resentment, because that is a big thing that happens after years of dealing with all this. But let me take you back just for a minute on the topic of time, okay? What you need to, what I think would be helpful for you to understand is in the world of ADD, time is something that is not our friend, because people, especially in this population that hyper-focus and are very creative, they lose track of time very easily. So that's why when you're going out somewhere, I can probably paint the scenario for you. Your wife knows that it's a certain time that you're supposed to be there. She has not worked back into the time she needs to leave. For example, what I do is I know I have to walk out the door at 7:30 in the morning, just as an example. I need to get up by 5:45 so that I can have coffee and have my breakfast. And I have an hour that it takes to get ready. And I am out the door at 7:30 and I don't exit onto other things. I just am right on track on what I'm doing. Okay. So this is something that when I work with adults and adolescents, I try to help them with. But for you to understand that time is not her friend, and it is not your job to fix this, but I'm giving you a little bit of understanding. The other thing is, I also, when I work with people, tell them, don't time projects that you're working on. Don't do it by time, do it by task. So, for example, if you have a task to do, you're going to say, I have 2 hours to do that task, instead of saying, I have this task to do, and it's going to take me all day. Because they get so lost, it'll be 8-9 hours before they're done. When they time it, they develop that internal feeling of, wow, I got to get this done, which is what they do when they procrastinate. It's the same thing. So that's where she gets so lost.
So how do I manage myself understanding all of that? So that's clearly the recipe, so to speak, or the technique for somebody with ADD.
Right.
Flip that coin a bit and give me, if you would, you know, just some pointers in terms of how I deal with that, because I'm on the same time frame. If we have a 7 o'clock dinner, I'm on that time clock. It's 7 o'clock. We need to be there.
Right.
So
and you
I
know that you have to leave by to leave by a certain time and all that. Okay, so here's what I would do. I would kindly, because I tell everybody we have to speak assertively and kindly to everybody we love, just say to your wife, you know what? We have to be at the restaurant at 7. Therefore, we have to leave at 6:30. I understand that this whole process can be difficult for you. Is there something I can do to help you in this process? If she says, no, I got this, say, okay, but I want you to understand. If it's 6:31, I'm gone. See, because we all in this population, we need to grow up. We need to take responsibility for our behaviors, and we don't need people in our lives enabling or being codependent with us, because that's very juvenile-like. So you're asking her if you can help her. Is there anything I can do? She says no, or if she says yes, then whatever that is, you'll see what it is if you can help her. But you need to let her know that at 6:31, you're gone.
Wow.
And if it means you have to leave her home, it's just like a little kid, George. Think about it. When you were raising your kids, there were consequences for behaviors. And she really needs to understand that when she's late, it really makes people feel that they don't matter. And she really can't continue to do that, because the first person she's hurting is this man that she's married to for so many years that she loves.
Right. So to ask another question, does that then mean that I have been enabling that kind of behavior because I would allow it to go on to 6:45, 10 minutes of 7, and then we'd be racing down the highway to try to get there and calling ahead saying, gee, sorry, we're a little bit late, and that my blood pressure goes sky high, and all those kinds of things.
Yes, you've been enabling.
Are you implying that I'm enabling that? I'm
yes.
enabling her.
But yeah. I'm not saying that you are aware of that. You're becoming aware of things now for the first time. And
right.
I don't, you know, I'm not blaming you and saying that's a horrible thing. I want you to become aware of the enabling piece of this whole thing, that many
right.
people who are married to people with ADD do the same thing. Then what happens? Then you get in the car at 10 to 7, the two of you together, and the argument ensues. Or there's silence.
Right.
You don't talk to each other at all.
Right.
How is that helpful for a really intimate, positive relationship? It's not.
Right. Well, that's a lot of what goes on. I mean, that's exactly the scenario that I have lived with and tried to my best to offer up. Can I help? Can we back into a time frame? Giving her a time frame of 6:30 that we needed to be at the restaurant, so
right.
that you know her clock would be okay, 6:15, 6:20. And then we would be there on time. But that's just playing with the scenario, if you know what I mean by that. I've tried all those techniques, none of which work.
Because I'll tell you why they don't work. Because she is not in the place of taking responsibility. And she's not an adult. She may look like an adult,
right.
but emotionally she's not there. She's never been there. So if I take responsibility for the fact that I've made you late for 5 times that we've gone out, and I'm all of a sudden saying, wow, I really see this now, then when you say to me, you know, can I help you with something or can you work back into it, I'm going to be listening to you and saying, okay, what do you mean by that? Work back into it. And so what you're saying to me is now going in, I'm processing it, and I'm going to work on that. So a lot of the frustration that you feel stems from the fact that you love your wife, but she's not taking the responsibility she needs to take for her part in this relationship.
Right. Okay.
See, and that's what makes the communication so difficult too, because you're trying to communicate with her as a partner. You know, in a marriage, there's partners. And these are two people that are completely emotionally individuated, not tethered to people in their past, their parents, come together, and they're two adults who are working together to make this marriage work.
Right.
So that's not what you have.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, as I listen to what you're saying here, you know, I can feel this resentment developing because I don't want to leave at 6:31. I really don't want to leave her.
Right, right.
So
right.
it would be
I know you don't.
A big
I know you don't,
challenge
but,
for me.
But
I
can promise you if it happens one or two times.
Yeah.
She is going to begin to see that she has a part in this. Look, George, there's absolutely no way that it's one person's fault completely. I mean, you know.
Of course.
It doesn't work that way unless,
yeah.
you know, you've got somebody who's drunk in the street. That's completely different,
yeah.
you know, or
yeah.
beating somebody. But she really needs to understand that this anger that's coming up from you when you're leaving the house at 10 to 7 is directly related to her inability to get ready on time, to get in the car, and to go. It's a disrespect to you and what your needs are.
Right.
And if you think about it, it's a very juvenile act. Because, you know, you had girls, they're always late, you know? They're funny because
right.
when they're teenagers, they're like putting on their makeup. Your wife is not a teenager anymore.
Right.
She's
right.
an adult. She needs to get herself up at 5 o'clock and say, I got to get out of here at 6:30. I better get in the shower. I better start getting ready so I can be out the door by 6:30.
Right.
What are the chances, do you think, of her really being able to take responsibility for these behaviors? And I know there are others you want to talk about, too. What's that chance of that happening?
Well, I think the bottom line is she's got to really acknowledge it. I don't really know how to get to that point of having her really acknowledge it, really say, yep, you're right. And, you know, all of this, the leaning that I've done on her, and I'm being kind here, the leaning that I've done on her to say, okay, 6:30, you know, I just don't think she takes a lot of stock in that.
Or takes responsibility.
I've not left at 6:31. I've just not done.
Right.
For a lot of reasons. One, it would be embarrassing to me to show up. You know, it's not all about me. It's not all about her. There's an aspect of me here.
Exactly.
I show up, we have friends, it's like, oh, where is she? Ah, well, you know, she didn't make the, you know, she missed the bus. Really?
Right.
So it's that aspect of it as well, and I just don't know if she has come to that realization yet.
What you're saying is, and this is fear-related, okay, that you're willing to continue the charade of 6:50 when you need to be somewhere at 7 o'clock and argue in the car instead of standing your ground and helping her to grow up by saying, I'm out of here at 6:31.
Right.
And I know that what happens then is you have to explain to people, but you don't have to explain the full gamut of what happened. You can just say, oh, gee, you know what? She was not home yet and she told me to go ahead. Whatever you have
right.
to say.
Right.
Because nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change unless there's consequences here. And
right.
and I hate to even go there with you because I know it's uncomfortable. I get it. But at the same time, have you in the past tried to sit down and talk to her about this and what happened? Did anything change?
No, it really didn't. We've certainly had conversation about it. And, you know, there's really almost a dismissal of the importance of being there right at 7. That's no big deal. We're just going out to dinner. You know, we can show up a few minutes late. That's all right. It's not a big deal. Well,
right.
In my mind, it is.
Yes.
And
yeah.
and that's kind of the dialogue that goes on here that that becomes really frustrating for me.
Yeah, because...
So, yeah, we had those discussions.
Okay, and nothing has changed because
not really.
Her feeling... And,
not really.
And I've
and
had...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And I think it's because I have acquiesced.
Right.
I have acquiesced. So, you know, I guess I've enabled it. Now, just by the fact that you've opened up my eyes just with that one word a couple of weeks ago... I think that the game has changed here.
Okay.
I think that, you know, you've given me just that one word has opened up my mind and allowed me to not really blame myself for being upset.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Because I would be, you know, I'd get upset for being upset, right? And then, you know, it's a vicious cycle. So with listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, it's all right for me to bail out. It's all right for me to go at 6:30. It's okay to do that and
right.
understand there will be consequences. I just have to get to that point, and I think you've helped me with some tools to get there.
Right, and I think you have to explain to her up front so she understands. You can
right.
sit her down and very kindly say, again, I always start out with positives because that is when the defenses come down and the ears open. So you say,
right.
you know what, I love you. You're such an important part of my life. But I have to tell you, I'm so sad. And the word sad really helps to take it down because then
right.
people, again, they don't get as defensive. I'm sad that we've come to this, but this is what I have to tell you. We have dinner tonight at 7 with friends. If you're not ready at 6:31, I'm leaving. And I'm going to follow through on that. I just want you to
right.
understand. And again, I love you. I don't want this to come to this, but I am just so tired. I'm stressed out. I can't handle the fact that you think it's okay to be late. Because I'll tell you, George, in this population, with people I work with, I can't believe some of the things they tell me about being late. It's okay to be 10 minutes late to work? No, it's not okay. But
right.
a lot of this population, they want to make it right. So, yes, it's okay. My support group, my adult support group, when I first started the group 4 years ago, people would sashay in at 8 o'clock when it started at 7:30. I got on everybody's case and said, excuse me, I do this for nonprofit, and I'm here at 7 in case anybody wants to ask questions. If I can get here, you can, and I'm locking the door if you're not
right.
here. Now everybody's there on time. Everybody.
Sure.
So that's taking responsibility.
So your own situation, as you worked your way through your own situation with ADD, Is that one of the triggers that helped you realize or helped you come to that realization that, one, you did have ADD, and, two, there were consequences? I mean,
yes,
that's what I think that's what I'm hearing.
I think that when I first found out that I had ADD, which was in my early 40s, it was very difficult for me, but then it really opened up the whole world of my life because I struggled in school. And I was always very impulsive, and I thought about how much trouble I had gotten into. I was funny. I always liked to have fun, but I would get into a lot of trouble. And and my business life was not great because I was late getting to work, and I wasn't organized. My desk was a disaster. So as time went on, I began to see, and this really happened for me probably 4 years ago, even though I've been a coach for 20 years and helping people with a lot of different things. My own growth really happened 4 years ago when something happened terrible in my life that caused a lot of trauma. And instead of becoming a victim and blaming the other person, I started to look at my own situation and say, oh, my God, I am such a child. I have to grow up. This is absolutely ridiculous. I can't live like this anymore. And
right.
in doing that, I was able to get in control of every one of the negative symptoms of ADD. And this is
right.
what I try to teach people now, that if I can do this, but it's a process and it takes work. You know, I would love to help your wife with all this. I don't know where she's at, if she's even willing to get to that place of saying, crying uncle, I need some help. But I will tell you, if you leave at 6:31, you will actually speed up that process.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great advice. And I'm talking a good game right now. I will make a commitment to you that we'll have the discussion. And at 6:31, the next time around, it'll happen.
Yeah.
It will not be my comfort zone.
So the other thing is, I would imagine that when you communicate with her at times, there's tension because you have resentment and anger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that what has built up over the years as this whole thing has really developed, there's a tone. There's a tone that developed. And it's not blatant. It's pretty subtle. I don't know if you call it passive-aggressive. I'm not really sure what that means exactly, but it is. There is a tone and a message to when I'm talking about those kinds of things. And, you know, I know it. I'm the one that's delivering it. I do my best to try not to do that because I know that that's not productive. However,
okay.
I think that in my mind, you know, there's this anger that's in the back of my mind, and certainly I don't want to flip out, and I want to be as calm and cool as I can. But underneath it all, there's a tone, and that's the truth. And I'd like to be able to eliminate that.
Okay, so let me try to help you with this. It is passive-aggressive what you're doing, and this is why. Passive-aggressive is non-direct. So if you would try and work on your own presentation and remember something, okay, the woman that you married, the woman you fell in love with, she's still there. She's very much still there. And part of this process in saving relationships, not that I think yours is on the edge, but in just trying to put the pieces back together, the pieces that have crumbled, is going back to that time when there was, you know, so much love at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah.
This
sure.
is the same person. This person has behaviors that are causing your anger. So it's at her core. She's a wonderful, loving person. And that's the person that you love and connect with. Surrounding that core, and this is what I try to help couples understand, is behaviors. And your anger is more at those behaviors than they are at the person. So in taking that in, when you try to speak to her and being direct and saying, look, I want to speak to you not in an angry tone. I want to speak to you like the way I how much I love you, I want that to come out when I'm speaking
right.
to you. But it's difficult for me because I have a lot of resentment that has built up over the years over behaviors. Not you, but your behaviors. I love you. I'd do anything for you. Walk on coals, hot coals for you.
Right.
But the behaviors is what causes this tone in my voice. Can we try to have a conversation? Can I try to tell you how I feel about the mess that's in the house when I come home? Can we just talk about that
right.
a little bit? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm separating out the person from the behavior. Now,
right.
there are a lot of people who would say, well, the behavior is the person. No, no, it's very different. It's very different. I could tell you that I've always been this positive, loving person, but I had some behaviors that, yeah, they weren't good. So do you...
So, no, I'm with you. I get that completely. Let me just ask another question that's swirling around in my mind, and I mentioned this before. So as a result of this cleanup mode, so to speak, there's what I would consider my obsession to go run around behind the whole thing, her, and physically or financially or whatever, to clean the mess up. Now, the
okay.
question that I've got for you is that a symptom of OCD that I might have, or is that just a reaction to this, you know, all of this anger, resentment, and so forth that's built up?
Well, I think that it's really a twofold situation. So, you know, the OCD symptoms, you know, if you're a clean freak and everything has to be absolutely immaculate so it looks like your house isn't lived in, that's an extreme. Okay.
Right.
If
I'm not
that,
like that.
Okay.
But I like it orderly.
You like order. Okay. So I think that that's who you are, and I think that your wife knew that when she married you. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, my feeling is that by you coming in and taking care of the situation, again, there's enabling. Okay? Okay, she didn't do it. I'm going to come behind her and I'm just going to clean up, you know?
Right.
And I'm not trying to make this out to be like, you know, you have to spend your time teaching her lessons. First is the conversation. First is the kind, loving conversation. You know, it's so important to me that when I come home that there isn't piles of stuff around the house. Is there something I can do to help you since you're home during the day to so that at least when I come home I feel like the house is in order? Okay.
Right.
And you're talking to her in a very kind way. You know, just to go back for a minute to talk about being on time. You know, because I love you, things that are important to you are important to me, okay? And arriving on time is important to me. I need you to
right.
help me. I need you to be ready on time. Okay, so these are the kind, loving ways that you talk. But again, if she's not ready at 6:31, then the consequence is I'm going to go. If you come home, and especially if you're having company over the house, and you've
right.
told her, I really need, can you help me? Is there something I can do before I leave for work this morning to help you get ready for tonight? Because this is so important to me. This is just
yeah.
so important. She says, no, no, don't worry about it. I'll get this done. And you come home, and you've got a half an hour before people show up, and the house is a disaster.
Right on the money.
So what do you do? Okay, so you're going to run around picking everything up and enabling, again, the fact that she has not followed through. You know, and just let me segue for 1 minute. I'm sure there's tons of people that listen are going to listen to this, whether it's live or on iTunes, and are going to be angry at me because they're feeling, if they're the ADD person, that the other person should be helping them. Well, I'm really sorry for all of you who are angry. Here's my message. You need to take responsibility for your life, and you need to grow up, because most of you have children, and your children need to see that, or their role model is going to be what they become.
Right.
Because I look at what we have as a gift, and if we get in control of this, then we're going to be okay. So you come home, and the place is a mess, and so I'm going to say to you, you're going to leave it a mess, and the people are going to come in? You can't do that, right? How do you do that?
It'd be very tough for me.
Of course
it'd be very tough for me, because what I, you know, what I do is, you know, I run around like crazy and just help organize and put things together and get things put out and whatever. Again, it's not about the, it's really not about the other people.
Right.
And it is to an extent, it's really more in terms of the order that I like in the way I live, not to the point
right.
where it's a like a military kind of a scene, but I like
right.
it orderly. Whether there's people here or not is
right.
almost irrelevant. It's just
right.
some kind of an order.
Right. You just, you're not going to an extreme with it, but you
right.
just have a certain kind of order that you would like to have.
Yeah.
See.
So yeah.
here's an idea. Okay. So because you're not the kind of person that's going to leave the house a complete disaster and let people come in, it would cause you stress like crazy. So here's an idea. What about the night before, okay, you say to your wife, hey, you know what? How about since we're having company tomorrow and I'm going to come home probably an hour before they show up or half an hour at best, depending on traffic, how about we do this process together tonight? I just, you know, walk around and do what I need, and you help me out so we get it done. So that tomorrow, when I come home, it's not going to look like the wreck of the Hesperus.
Right, right.
I mean, there's a compromise. Okay.
Sure.
And again, one of the things you want to say to her if you can get to a place where she can hear you, is, you know, I would really love it if I could rely on you to get these things done. That would be so important to me. It would be so special for me if you could get these things done. Because, you know, what happens is, George, these resentments build, and I work with couples all the time, and the way the person without ADD speaks to the person with ADD is just horrific. It's horrible. Yep. And when you get to that point, sometimes it's the point of no return. So what I'm trying to help you understand is, the kinder and gentler you are in speaking to her, hopefully if you can make this a priority, she may start to feel like, wow, this is very different. He's not talking to me with that tension in his voice.
Right.
Maybe I need to find out more about this.
So I'm assuming that there are specialists like yourself around the country,
yes,
who deal with this kind of situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not can't promise you that everyone will deal with it the way I deal with it.
Right.
I'm all about everybody growing up. When I was a couple of weeks ago, I was at a CHAD talk, and one of the gentlemen that was there was an ADD coach, and he was actually saying that the person without ADD really needed to understand the person with ADD and help them because they can't do this stuff. And I was appalled. I was absolutely appalled. And half my adult group was there, and they were appalled because they realized that they're never going to be happy if they don't really start taking responsibility for their own stuff. So you have to interview certain people. I would interview a couple of people before, you know. I also Skype with people all the time.
Oh.
So, I don't know if that would be something you'd be interested in, but I do. So,
But I think that just the information that I've gotten on this call and the one that I listened to a couple of weeks ago just opened up a whole new arena for me. Because I was, I was aware of it, and I was aware of the circumstance, but I really was putting so much of it on myself.
Right.
And not really understanding that a lot of the responsibility, most of the responsibility, is on the person that does have ADD.
Yes.
Interesting.
And that's very true. But as they go through that whole process of hopefully getting better and individuating, they're going to need a lot of love and support.
Right.
From the person without. Just giving them, you know, just being there for them. That's just so important because as you started off the phone call saying, you're living with a brilliant, out-of-the-box thinker, incredibly creative woman.
Yeah.
This population, I mean, it's an amazing population. We are gifted. We are so gifted.
Yeah.
But we're also so childlike in how we approach it. Because I think sometimes that left side of the brain isn't developed as much as the right side of the brain. And we're not linear and progressive like somebody like yourself is. We jumped from A to Z and then try to figure out how to get back to B.
So in that population, do they understand how gifted and brilliant they really are? I mean, that's a general question.
That's a very good question. Some of them do. People like, I'm sure, Steven Spielberg absolutely does. And then there are other people who do not see it because they live in fear. Their negative symptoms of ADD really stop them from being able to experience their creative side and how wonderful it is. There's a whole write up on the internet about the creative mindset. And, you know, I have two boys and they're both extremely creative. And because of the way I approach the ADD scenario with them, they're pretty good about being able to release their fear. But here's a question I have for you. You had two children. And when they were growing up, how did your wife's ADD affect that whole process of raising them?
Great question. I don't know. Yes, I do know. It seems to me, and this might just be that I was not paying attention, I was traveling a lot, but it seems to me as they were growing up, there was some of that, and then I kind of swooped in when I was home, and I, you know, I prevailed in a lot of the, let's use the word discipline, that might be a little bit strong, but the structure that I put in place, timeliness, cleanliness, all those kinds of things, rooms being orderly. You know, I used to do things on Saturday morning. I'd crank the music up and just make straightening up the house fun.
That's
just
great.
That's great.
I like that.
My kids talk about that today. Talk about that today. So,
that's awesome.
So it could be that I was aware of it, but that's just the way I was coping with it or dealing with it at the time.
So are either one of your children ADD?
I really don't think so. I mean, I might be oblivious, but I don't see it in either one of them. One of which is extremely creative, and the other is a very linear thinker.
Yeah. So the creative one may have a touch of it, but it may be that it's more the inattentive type where those are the ones that are highly creative and you don't have the hyperactivity or the impulsivity. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were able to...
No, I really don't see that in her house and you know, in the way she handled her children and so forth. Very, very, not very structured, but organized, not hyper about much of anything. Pretty cool about it all.
And
seems to deal with it. But, you know, you're talking about my kids, Justine.
I know. But you know what? But look, I have two kids, and I'm not embarrassed. I think they're both gifted, and one is also bipolar. He was just diagnosed this year with bipolar, and he was here last Sunday, and I was so impressed with him, and I said, wow, you seem to be doing so well. He said, hey, you taught me how to embrace ADD. I'm embracing my bipolar. Because what else are you going to do, right?
You're going to fight it?
You're going to cry about it? But I have a question now. When you and your wife visit your daughters and she sees that their houses are more or less structured and, you know, really put together and they're on time, how do you think that affects her? Does she see any of that?
I would say she has to, but it's not an area that I approach, to be honest. It's one of those areas that I try to stay away from because if I did approach that topic, you know where, I mean, that's a left-handed way of saying this is what they are and this is what you do. This is what they do and this is what you do. So I'm sensitive to that, and frankly, I haven't really asked the question. I've commented, but really, really haven't gone down deep into what my real reaction is all about.
Okay, so yeah, so you really haven't felt from your wife that she's picking up on any of that.
No, but my hunch would be that she absolutely is.
Yeah.
But she absolutely is. Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting because both your girls seem to have more taken after you in that way.
In that specific regard, I think
yes.
so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And then one of them is highly creative like your wife is highly creative.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
Off the chart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Yeah. It's interesting that she really is focused on using that creativity, really using and leveraging that creativity for her career growth and such. Really, really focused on that.
Okay.
And, of course, that's right up my alley. I love that.
Right.
That. because she's
so the interesting thing is you shared with me last time we spoke, you shared with me that I didn't know how creative your wife was, but you would explain to me things that she does, but that she seems to wait to the last minute.
Oh, yeah.
To get them done.
Yeah. She had a deadline just recently, had a commitment to make somebody, she makes these magnificent handbags. She makes them from scratch by hand.
Wow.
She's got a source in New York for phenomenal material, and she designs them from scratch and whatnot. And it was for a wedding, and Thursday night, the wedding was Saturday, it was not done.
Wow.
But guess what? By the time we left on Friday night, it was done.
Wow. But you see what she does to herself.
Well, right, but what I've learned to do is just kind of distance and not really focus on the time frame that I would. I can't make it be my time frame.
Oh, no, absolutely not. What I'm pointing out to you is that I think what happens a lot of times in this world of creative, we get so scared. We get that place of fear because the perfection thing kicks in, like something's
exactly
got to be perfect.
Right.
And so when that happens, then we procrastinate and procrastinate. And unfortunately, though, in that procrastination, it does affect other people in the house.
Right.
And that's the thing that really they have to be able to see. So, you know, yes, that's anxiety. And that's what's underneath the ADD because it's so co-occurring.
Right.
That's what happened.
In this particular situation, I just blocked it out of my mind.
Good.
I really did. I just blocked it out of my mind and just said, well, you know, the cards will fall where they may. She always does get it done. She really does. But what she does to herself in the meantime is just not something I could possibly do.
No, but you also can't control something like that. So you're really
smart
to just say, you know what? She made the commitment. She promised to make the bag. If it doesn't get done, it's not a reflection on me.
Right.
I have nothing to do with that. I didn't offer to make the bag.
Yeah.
So that's very healthy for you to step away. See, and that's what I'm trying to facilitate in other areas, too, for you to just kind of step away.
Great.
Don't be there to save all the time because it's not going to help.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do my
Anything
best.
Else?
Not right now.
Okay.
Not right now. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the conversation, and I'm going to be a continual listener. That's for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you calling. It's been great talking to you, not only on air but off air. And again, if there's anything I can do to help, just please let me know.
Yeah, there's no question. I appreciate your time. Okay.
George, have a good
Take
night.
Care.
All
Talk
right.
Soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I hope all the listeners enjoyed that session with George. I certainly hope that he's going to take some of the advice I gave him and possibly take the steps to a better relationship. I don't think that their relationship is in jeopardy of completely falling apart, but I do think there's some real issues there that has caused resentment over the years. And again, that resentment is about the behaviors, not the person. And I need everybody out there to understand the difference so that if you're in a relationship with somebody and those resentments are really beginning to build, if you can really turn that around a little bit and understand that the resentment that you're feeling is towards the behaviors. It's not towards that person that either you've been with for so many years as a life partner or you're married to or you're early on in a relationship. And if you are early on in a relationship, my suggestion would be that you do get some help because if you're deciding to get married, you really want to work on the two of you being partners, a partnership where there's two adults, because eventually you will decide to have children, and if one or both of you have attention deficit disorder, I can almost guarantee you that one of your children are going to have it too, because it's extremely genetic. So again, if anybody would like to call in, the number here is 917-889-7025, and I'd love to hear from you. Okay, so here's a question that was put on my website under the forum section, and it says, my wife is just like George's. If I were to leave without her, she would be pissed off and I would be blamed. How can I get her to understand her responsibility? The only way you're going to get her to understand the responsibility is by stop enabling her behaviors. And if you continue to do that, she's never going to want to grow up or to change the behaviors. I understand that she's going to be pissed off, but you don't do it with a surprise. What you do, as I told George, is you sit down with her and explain to her just how important it is that she's on time for things that the two of you are going to, whether it's business or personal. And that, on time means that you're not even a minute late. You're there exactly on time, possibly even a little earlier. And by doing that, it helps everybody relax, which is interesting. When I found out that concept of being on time, it really took down a lot of my stress. So you explain it to your wife, and you tell her what's going to happen, and if she's okay with that, that's what's going to happen. If she's not and you leave, then she has to really deal with the consequence, and hopefully then the two of you can get into some maybe couples counseling, communication counseling, and if you're in the LA area, it would be great if you would contact me. I would really appreciate it. Okay, so here's another question off my website. It sounded like George has enabled a lot of his wife's behaviors. My wife is ADHD and we have two boys. Can you give me some way to bring up disciplining our children with my wife? Okay, that's a really, really good question, because I would imagine that the disciplining is probably very different between the two of you, and I don't know what it would be because I'm not talking to you directly. Okay, so I would sit your wife down, and I would from the heart tell her how you feel and be direct. Don't beat around the bush, but be kind and loving. And I always say that because if you want somebody to hear you, they're not going to hear you if you talk to them with attention in your voice. They're going to shut down. Start out with a positive. Tell her, you know, how much you love her and how important the children are to the both of you. But what you're beginning to see is that there is no follow-through when it comes to disciplining the children. Now, for those of you who are listening, by the way, the word discipline in the Greek language means to teach. It doesn't mean to scream at, to yell at, or to hit. It means to teach them. So in disciplining, what you're doing is you're teaching them different things about the consequences of what their behavior was. The most important thing in disciplining is follow through. So if you tell your children that if they do this, then this is going to happen. So the law of physics, for every action, there's a reaction. You explain that to your children, then when they do what it is you didn't want them to do, and that happens, what's going to happen is they're going to have a consequence. And actually, depending on the age of the child, what I like to do, because this is actually pretty funny to watch, is ask the child, the adolescent especially, what kind of consequence would you give for this kind of behavior? And the interesting thing is, the consequence is usually always worse than what you would have given them. So I think it's pretty funny just to watch that whole process. So in sitting down, you need to really make her understand that you want to do this as partners. You definitely want to be together in raising your children and in disciplining them. And she really needs to understand the importance of this, because it is very, very important. Especially if one or both of your children are ADD, they really need to understand that if they do something, especially with the impulsivity, that there is going to be a consequence for that. So I would suggest that you sit down and talk to her about it and see what kind of feedback that you get from her. And if you feel like things are not changing, then I would suggest what you do is you contact a couples counselor and discuss with the couples counselor about the best way to communicate together so you both can hear each other. But remember, and this is what I said to George, your wife has to be able to take responsibility for her behaviors. And if she is not completely individuated, emotionally individuated, many times what happens is then we're not self-aware, and in not being self-aware, when somebody says something to us like, you know, you're very controlling, because I remember when this happened to me, I denied it because I didn't see it. I did not see the fact that I was controlling at all. And in order to be able to see that, I had to become self-aware and then really understand that I was controlling and that was affecting the other people in my life. And it was affecting them, not only my children, but my husband at the time. It was affecting them in a really terrible way. So once I became aware of that self-awareness, then I was willing to work on fixing those things about myself. And at that point in time, I was also willing to take responsibility for my behaviors, which was difficult, but was the right thing to do. So I think that I can talk. I was supposed to have on the show today a woman who had ADD and talk about relationships, but because you're so lucky to have me on the phone because I have ADD and have had it my whole life, I can talk about myself and what happened in my relationships. So I was married twice, yes, and I now have a life partner who I talked about at the beginning of the show who is also ADD. But both of my husbands, my first husband was not ADD but was more on the autistic spectrum, and I, of course, did not know that at 30 years old when I married him. So he was very, very, I guess you could say, weak in terms of being able to stand up to me with my ADD symptoms and being very impulsive and very hyperactive at the time. But again, remember, did not know at that point in time that I was ADD. And so that marriage, even though I have two beautiful boys from that marriage, it was not a good marriage. And I really was the man in the relationship, I guess you could say. And a lot of my impulsivity came into play, and I wanted things that I was incapable of having. So I went on spending money that we didn't have. We were always in trouble financially, and I'm taking full responsibility here. That was my fault. Instead of paying the bills first, I would run out and buy things for myself or the kids or the house, not taking into account what was happening to our lives. I just wanted what I wanted. I was very childlike, and I wanted immediate gratification. So if I thought about something, I would go out and I would get it. So that marriage ended, and I ended up my second marriage with a narcissist who I didn't really know that until, you know, 14 years into the marriage while I was in graduate school, and I recognized what was really going on. But he was not ADD, but he was very OCD. So he wanted things done a certain way, and the house had to be immaculate, always put together to an extreme. Not what George was talking about, more to an extreme. My house actually looked like nobody lived in it because that's the way he wanted it to be. He could be very gruff, not in the beginning, because with a narcissist in the beginning, they put you up on a pedestal. And they make you feel that you're larger than life and absolutely the most important person in the world. But as time went on, my negative symptoms of ADD really affected him. The spending of the money was still out of control. I was not the neatest person in the world, and I had to hop to it to make sure that I got those things done. So I was building resentment towards him at the same time he was building resentment towards me. He would say not so nice things to me when I would talk, like, you know, are you capable of staying on topic? Because one of the things that I used to do was when I would talk, I would go off topic and start talking about other things or have to give every little minute detail of the story, which absolutely drove him crazy. And so it was towards the end of our relationship, which was about 5 years ago, that I really, really started to embrace the things that he was saying to me. He had an affair, and instead of becoming the perfect victim, as I talked about before, and just blaming him for the end of the marriage because of the affair, but please don't misunderstand me, I'm not taking responsibility for his affair, I started to listen to things he was saying to me about myself and thought about it. Like, he said things to me like, do you know that people think you're a bitch? And I really had to sit and think about that because I was in a place where I wanted to really grow and change, and he was right. There was a lot of things about me that was kind of bitchy-like, and I had a tone in my voice that my boys would tell me were not good. I had OCD symptoms, so I would obsess constantly about things. I expected my ex-husband to take care of all my feelings and emotions and put them all onto him instead of being an adult and taking responsibility and taking care of my own feelings and emotions. So I did grow, even though it was a horrible situation, a lot of trauma. He was lying all the time about the affair and telling me I was crazy, but he was still having the affair. And that isn't even the topic today. I mean, that's over, and I really should be sending him a thank you card because he did me a favor, because I'm in a much better place. I grew up. I stopped being controlling. I'll never forget the day that I absolutely gave that up, which was wonderful, because there is such a peace in really understanding that you can't control anybody except yourself. And in really feeling that, it's an amazing freedom. So I was really able to grow as a person through that relationship, but I do know that there were things about my negative ADD symptoms that drove him absolutely crazy. And as I look back on that, I am very sorry about that, not so much for him, but more for my children, because there were mornings that I would get up, take them to school, and not be able to find my keys. And that would really at times cause the boys to be late for school. And that would really be a problem for them because they never wanted to be late. So the keys at times ended up in the refrigerator or they were in the linen closet, and we can all laugh about this because it is funny, but it wasn't funny when I needed to get my boys to school on time, and I couldn't do that, and that was not good for them. The other thing was, you know, they would ask me, my boys would ask me if I would, you know, take them out, take them places and, you know, pick them up when they were done. And, you know, before my oldest son told me how it made him feel about, you know, me being late, when I would take him out and drop him off to be with his friends when he was 9, and I was always on top of who was there and another parent was taking them, most likely I was late picking them up. And I know that that really devastated them. The other thing was the follow through. So I would tell them, my boys, that I was going to do things for them. Like, they would ask me in the morning, hey, Mom, you know, I need something for school, like I need a notebook or something for a project, you know, poster board and stickers or whatever, could you get that for me? And I'd say, oh, sure, I can. And, of course, my day would go by, and I'd be doing things and not thinking about what I needed to do for my oldest son or my younger son, whichever one needed it. I didn't write it down. I wasn't paying attention. And so by the time I picked them up and they came home, they would ask me, you know, all excited, where's the poster board? Where? And I didn't have it. And so many times they really got hurt. I remember one instance that was pretty sad was my son, my older son at the time, was in fifth grade, and they had a little luncheon with all different types of food from around the world. And all of the parents were supposed to bring something to the luncheon. This is so sad. It makes me sad right now just thinking about it. And ours was Chinese, so my son asked me if I could please bring brown rice, which would not have been a difficult thing to do. I would have had to go into the Chinese restaurant to buy the brown rice. Well, to make a long story short, I completely forgot, and he was the only kid that didn't have the brown rice. He didn't have his food from China, and he came home very, very upset. And of course, because I was still very much a child, I was defensive with him. Instead of apologizing to him and taking full responsibility for my part in forgetting it, what I did was I just got angry. And I was really angry at myself, but I was angry with him. And later on, probably a day later, I apologized. I apologized to him because I felt terrible. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time over the past 4 years telling the boys, especially, how sorry I was for all my juvenile behavior. And we're in a really good place and doing much better because I am an adult now. I am individuated emotionally and feeling good and in control of my negative symptoms. And this is what I want to share because I have such a passion about this with everybody who's listening, and I want to help everybody get to the same place that I'm at in my life. So, again, if any of you want to contact the show, you can call us at 917-889-7025 or go to my forum on my website at missadd.com. And now I picked up another question off my website, and it says, I am ADD, and when I mess up, how do I take responsibility for these things and not become defensive? That is very much a process, because the story I was just telling about messing up and not bringing the food to school, I became defensive. The reason that we become defensive is because we know that we did something wrong. So if you can just kind of learn how to take it down. So, for example, when you mess up and something goes wrong, if you can take responsibility and at the same time regulate your emotion, so you start using the mindfulness, and you can go to iTunes and you can listen to my podcast on mindfulness. You start staying in the moment, taking some deep breaths, and just looking at the situation and saying, you know what, I'm really sorry. See, in saying you're sorry, it's powerful. It's powerful not only for you, but it's powerful for other people, because what you're going to notice is a lot of times people don't really know how to take it when somebody apologizes, because I think most people are expecting people to get defensive, and to defensive means defending yourself. So taking responsibility is really the first step in becoming individuated. That emotional individuation, you have to take responsibility, you have to become self-aware in order to get to that place of growing up. So that's something that I think that would be very helpful for you, to just regulate your emotion, take some deep breaths, and say to whoever it is that you messed up with, I am so sorry. And you know what? I think you're going to see that you're going to get a really positive reaction. So thank you for that question. We have another question that just came in off the website, and it says, I am often out of control. Can you recommend a workbook that I might use to help learn how to regulate my emotions? Yes, I can. It's called the DBT workbook. It's the Dialectical Behavior Therapy workbook. And actually, this workbook was created years ago for borderline personality disorder. But what I have found, because I live this myself, is that in our population, in the ADD or ADHD population, we have difficulty with regulating our emotions. So, for example, when we feel something, it comes over us like a tidal wave. And if you think about swimming in the ocean and getting caught in a wave, it's very hard to get out of it. And you can get, you know, very angry and start to get aggressive because you can't handle that feeling of being underwater. Well, that's the feeling that you get when you can't regulate your emotions. So the DBT workbook, and you can buy it online, it's not expensive, really speaks to this issue of not being able to regulate. And they have a whole section in that book on mindfulness, which would also be very helpful as well. So I hope whoever asked this question, that was a helpful answer. One more question. I am ADD, ADHD. Can you tell me again how to get things done based upon time versus project? Okay. So what you want to do is lose the aspect of I'm going to just, you know, take all my time to get this project done. No, what you're going to do is you're going to structure your day by task. I like to call it task versus time. Okay, so let's say you have an application you have to fill out for a new job. You're going to tell yourself, this is going to take an hour, and you're going to make a list of things that you have to get done. And remember, always the most difficult one on top. Make a list of things you have to get done and put times next to them. So if you have five things, you're going to figure out how much time you think it's going to take to accomplish that task. In doing that, what you're going to find out is if you stick to the list and to the time, you'll probably get more done than you ever got done before. So, again, make the list. The application's going to take an hour. I have to go to the grocery store and buy groceries for the week. That's going to take an hour and a half. And again, you have to take into consideration the driving time. I'm sure it's probably near your house. But the other things that you have to do, if you have something that's creative, again, time it and set a timer when you're working on the project so that when the timer goes off, you know for now you've got to end that project. And this is another way to help with procrastination because what it develops is by timing your tasks, you're developing that sense of internal urgency, which is what happens when we wait to the last minute, we procrastinate, we again get that feeling of internal urgency. So in doing the task versus time, but you're timing the task, you're just not spending the whole day doing one thing, I think you're going to find out that you're going to get things done a lot quicker. And life's going to be a lot smoother for you. So I can't believe an hour and a half has gone by. I want to again thank George for calling in. Next week, we're going to continue talking about relationships and ADHD. I'm going to have a surprise for you, so please tune in. Again, I want to tell everybody that ADD is definitely a gift. So this is Miss ADD, and I'm signing off. Thank you for listening. And remember, everybody out there, please stay in the moment. Take care.